schools. You should be prohibited travel by rail, road. So he quoted the Chatam Sofer that we just studied, that you can't travel on the railroad train on Shabbat because you're going to be shaking back and forth and you won't have the extreme comfort that you have as to travel on a boat or on a coach, whereas as if you're in your own bedroom. אבל לעניית עתי נראה שחידוש זה של החתם סופר לאסור רכיבה בקרוב משום גופו נע ונד הוא נסתר ממה שכתב ואמר אסור לשבת על גבי קרון שאין יהודי מנהיגו בשבת. ואמר says you're not allowed to ride in a coach where a guy is the driver on Shabbat משום שמשתמש בבהמה גם שלא יחדוק סמרה עד כאן. The prohibition against riding a coach, the Ramah brings those opinions which say it's because you might pull off a switch. And furthermore, this idea that your body is moving back and forth is very weak. Shim came there, so Gaha Licha Mereda. You should therefore prohibit walking to Shulchan Shabbat. Mishum She'en Gufo Nach, Ve'eno Yachol Lasot the Shabbat, Ve'en Gufo Ba'alufo Kamusha, so Gamma Ve'to. I mean, the same thing would apply that you should not be able to walk to Shulchan Shabbat because you're not going to be comfortable and it's not as if you're sitting in your own bedroom on Shabbat. ולכן נראה שגם החתם סופר לא אסר אלא להולך כל יום שבת או גובו. What the Chatam Sofer wanted to prohibit is if you're going to be riding a long distance intercity on the train, you're going to be on the train for most of the day. אפילו בהולך מרחקים כאלה שאין אדם הולך בהם אלו לענייני מסחרו שמתקרב על הרחוק כדי לעשות מקום מסחרו של הרחוק גם זה ודאי אסור ואין זה מנוחה אלא הגיעה של נגנות וסלטור לשם מסחר ויעשור משם שבתו. Okay, so we stick down. So he's basically rejecting the Chatam Sofer's opinion that you can't ride on these trains because they're uncomfortable. But you have to give the Chatam Sofer the credit. I don't believe he ever saw a road on the train. Ulam, let's skip to the next paragraph. Ein hadarim halalu amurim ela bekvanot shemitnahagot alidei lo yehudim v'uchobot sherov toshveihem haim lo yehudim. This only applies to a situation where the conductor is not Jewish and the majority of the population is not Jewish.
So not to Israel.
שלפי זה עיקר מציאתו ומציאתם של הקרונות אלה היא בשביל לא יהודים ודומה לכבר שהם ידון גוי לעצמו או לאחרים שכמותו אבל מקום שרובן ישראל שנמצאו בו גם לא יהודים ועתים אסור ישראל לקרוא בהם בשבת ביום טוב הואילו בניכר הדבר שהגוי מנהיג קרונות אלו בשבת בשביל ישראל. That if you're in a neighborhood where the majority is Jewish, you're not allowed to do this because the guy is doing it for the majority of the residents who are Jewish. Now, to my mind, there's a big difference on the issue of whether this was a tram which is run by a steam engine or a tram which was run by electricity, because in my opinion, conducting a tram which is run purely on electricity, there's no malacha performed at all, so it shouldn't matter whether the role of the community is Jewish or not Jewish. But that's his opinion. Maskana de Dina. Aleph. Asur insor v'konot chashmaliyot v'mokonot kitoriyot she'en shel Yehudim afilu im hanahagim heim lo Yehudim. If the tram is owned by Jews, you shouldn't use it. Asur lanzor bekonot elo afilu haim shelo yehudim uman minhagot al yirei yehudim im helchot b'shabbat b'shabbat b'makom shiyesh yehudiyot lor yehudim mutal yehudim lanzor bekonot shelo yehudim shishimahik al yadam retoch ha'ir b'tnai shelo yitzarku l'shalem d'nei kartis nesiyah b'shabbat b'yomtov. So the Rabbi Uzeel says that if you don't have to pay for your ticket on Shabbat Yom Tov, like the situation that existed a few years ago here in Brookline, you should be allowed to travel on it on Shabbat. Vafilu Zot, he's now withdrawing a little bit. I know Ella Lashem Hiluf Shal Mitzvah Kagon Lechat the Beit Knesset or Kedomet. Avolo Lashem Tiyu. Mikol Shekein Lutzar Shem Tzorach Mitzvari. So he's putting a proviso here, one that I don't necessarily agree with, but he's saying that if you have to get the shul on Shabbat, then you certainly should be allowed to take the MTA out of in an outbound direction where you don't have to pay for it.
He gives no reason for
this. What?
He gives no reason for that qualification about mitzvah.
No, he doesn't give...
It sounds like he's a little uneasy.
That means that he's a little uneasy. Exactly. He's a little uneasy, but for example, for the Jews of Bombay, this is crucial because they live at such far distances from the shul that there'd be no other way for them to get the shul.
Or perhaps he has fits into his idea of Onik Shabbat, that it's not that he's taking that position based on whether or not this is a malacha, but he has a position on Onik Shabbat that he's holding too strongly.
Right. Okay, now,
this was mentioned last week. There's a distinction, I forget what was in last week's notes, about when you talk about someone making a living.
Right, if he applies Rabbeinu Tam's view, namely that going to earn a living is a mitzvah under all circumstances, then the only thing he wouldn't be allowed to do is to do it for the sake of just enjoying the trip.
Right, and what was Rabbeinu Tam's reasoning?
So Rabbeinu Tam said that when the writer in Shabbat says that if he's been going with Tzorach Mitzvah, he wanted to explain why the practice in Europe was to travel by boat on Shabbat, contradicting the Gemara. And Rabbeinu Tam's explanation, which is much broader than his brother's, was namely the phrase L'dvar Mitzvah means earning a living. That you should, if you're going out to earn your own living, that is a mitzvah. Of course, the modern Haredi community would disagree to that particular classification. Okay, so
is this an automatic train, non-driver?
Like the ones that have on airports, where they do that completely remote.
There should be no prohibition whatsoever. Okay, but as I mentioned, there is unfortunately some taboo in existence against having anything to do with electricity, but that has no basis in Allah. So here now is Rabbi Toledano's tshuva. No, but Rabbi Toledano briefly mentioned
that. Again, where is Shabbat that you're orbiting the Earth once every 7 minutes?
Okay. Does everybody have a copy? There should be plenty of copies. So now this Shabbat, at least I can date some amount of accuracy because Rabbi Toledano's book was published in 1931, so this was written sometime before that. Nishalti, I was asked, Ma hadin notem en soa b'shabbat yom tov ba'aviron, Erevan, ha'm munhag agedei nachri b'serov nos'av nachrim. ומה דעתי בעניין הרכבות החשמליות ההולכות בתוך התחום לעניין שבת? And what is the law about riding on electric trains within the city on Shabbat? כבר דיברו רבני זמננו אודות אמצעי הנסיעות שנתחדשו בזמן הזה. Our rabbis of our generation have discussed this issue. ועד עתה אין החלטה מוסכמת כל כך. And there is no universal agreement on this. While there, who you say, but there, who she katapti lamala shenatun nachutz lanu begdin gadol ve'eretz Yisrael adun v'laskin v'she'evel shekeele l'dap ma she'yasu shlomei emunei Yisrael. He was at false optimism, believing that with the establishment of the Rabbanut HaRashit, all matters could be resolved. Unfortunately, his judgment didn't work that way. Rakavot HaBazel. הנוסעים מעיר לעיר על ידי לוקומוטיב המחומם באש פחמי אבן וחיתו, ואלא אינו איסור להשתמש בבעלי חיים כמו בקרנות הגלות שנסגרו ראשונים. There's no prohibition because there's no animal there. וגם לא איסור לנחרי שמגר אש בשביל ישראל. There's also no prohibition because the fireman is putting the coals in the fire for the sake of Jews. והרוב הנוסעים בהם נחרים נינו. Again, יש לרכבות האלו זמן קבוע לנסיעתם. These trains have a fixed schedule. ובין שיהיה להם נוסעים ובין שלא יהיה להם מוכרחים לנסוע. And therefore, all of those prohibitions don't apply. ואין כי אם איסור תחומים דיידי זמיר, דרבים סביר אלי שום לדיירייקה. And the only prohibition is one of Kum, ולכן אסור לנסוע בהם בשבת אפילו שיכנה שביתה מערב שבת. פעים, חתם ספר חלב, עצם מסבק זיין, etc., etc. Now, let's ha'autobosim ha'olef b'koach ha'benzin. These are the buses that are running with an internal combustion. Ela shalchim me'ir le'ir dinam kemo rakavot ha'bazel ha'niskarol. They have sort of the same law like the place. So the intercity buses are prohibited on the ground like the Tiferes Yisrael. Remember, this is not a universal opinion, but at least they should, okay. Let's go, let's stick down to the tramway. Hachashmaliyot, the electric trams, v'hem ha-tramway, she'olech, she'olchim b'toch ha'ir, o'toch ha'tchum, al-yidei koha chashmali, ha'olech b'tinot ha'chutim li'al gabam. V'yach she'anachrish ha-manhig, eno o'seh klum la'ha'ir, and also the guy, the non-Jewish conductor, is not doing anything to create any fire, ki im esavev ha'ofen, המניע שמכוחו דוחק החשמל על כוח תונת ההליכה על ידי הדלגלים והפסים שבקרקע, ואלו היה מקום להתיר בשופי. Since, as I was saying before, the conductor is not performing any prohibition on Shabbat, this should be completely permissible. וכן ברכבות הברזל העוברים על גשרי ברזל מקצה העיר האחד על השני שאין בזה איסור תחומים. Also, the ones that they go from one end of the town to the other. רבנים אחדים באמריקה משנת תחרי של המבחה. וכן רבני צרפת בימינו אלו נמנו וגמרו והתירם לנסוע בהם בשבת ביום טוב על ידי קניית כרטיסי מסע בערב שבת.
So
he had some historical basis.
What did you say about buses before?
On the buses, the intercity buses, he says, is going to be prohibited for the same reason that the intercity trains are prohibited.
Intercity?
Okay. So his opinion, and this is the one that I said.
Is there a prohibition there? They're knocking off the ground?
They're not high enough off the ground, etc. The Isur Tchum. But if we're restricting ourselves to travel within the city, where there's no problem, from Rabbi Toledano says, the conductor is not performing any prohibited act on Shabbat.
Right.
Okay. Okay, he then goes, we should read the next one, even though it's not relevant to our discussion. Habisniklet. Bicycle. Who do openayim haolech the kator chavir tenat hamerot shebagal galim? The gam ina atzuya laaskir ki yim kolachat yachad yesh lo mishelo. By the way, that's not 100% true, because when we were in Tel Aviv for Rosh Hashanah, you could rent your bicycle for use on Yom Kippur. If you paid 150 shekels, you would remember there's no car traffic. It's absolutely amazing. There's no car traffic at all in Tel Aviv on Yom Kippur.
And there's no law. It's just a custom.
There's no law. It's just a custom. But everybody rents a bicycle or owns a bicycle and travels around by bicycle. So habisiklet, for who go off the name or left of the car chazir to not have a rosh begal bevin to gain or see a last kick in kolecha beyechad yesh lom shalo to zeh yesh lom ha the kevin shu ha meni oto yesh lom yishun to fill bo shah bo yishet harabim. There's a problem with crowning on Russian. For the sake of that parlim, lom gizal dvar chalkeh ha vichir lalechet ba b'shabat yom tov v'ninafeyach ha'or sholam i'er ha'shabat, to make sure that the tires are inflated before Shabbat. O be'ir shorokhometer tzorim da'vikarmulit, the earth לצורך מצווה מוצא למצוא הבא, אבל בעיר של עובדי גדולים, פרטי סמואל, אמרת הראשית הרבים אסור בחלגה, אך יש איזה מחכמי זמנים שלא רצו לסמוך על הדבר הזה, ויעשו בכל אופן מטעם עובדין דחול. Because it doesn't look appropriate, you're doing something inappropriate on Shabbat. Vagam Shemi Takein Vazayis. So in a town where there is an error, for example, Rabbi Talodano would say there's no reason not to allow you to ride your bicycle.
Where did he ride from? Was he from America?
He was in Cairo at the time.
Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
He used English words, bicycle.
It's a collection. It's a
international word.
Tramway.
Spanish. It's a tramway sign like an American word.
It's a collector of Spanish.
Or the Spanish. Okay. All right. So, we have two opinions of the leading Sephardic rabbis who allow the use of the tram in town. Rabbi Uziel saying if you're going to shul, and like the Dana say, if there's no reason to prohibit it under any circumstance. For a reason which I am afraid I understand, these Shabbat, that is, these Shabbat of the Sephardic rabbis, are not quoted at all in the traditional yeshiva Ashkenazic literature. Okay, now, this is for horizontal travel. What about vertical travel? Okay, so let's. Another Shurba of Rav Taludano, which I would like to read, so let's pass these hours. That's enough for everybody. Okay, Mish'alah She'ela, the lady name of Polkahir. The following question was raised here in our court in Cairo. Im mutar la'alot ba'ascensoir, are you allowed to go up an elevator? That's pure French. Im mutar la'alot ba'ascensoir, v'hi tevad gedolah ke'en cheder katan she'olim v'yolim bo'ol l'diot yot ha'el yodot she'b'chaserot v'olim ha'yudei k'ita ha'kachot ha'neniyah. So, are you allowed to ride on Shabbat in an elevator? Or is a Jew allowed to push the button of the elevator on himself and go up and down? Or on Shabbat, are you allowed to go up and down in the elevator when the elevator operator is a non-Jew? So that's the problem. Shabbat. Hadavar pashut de biyom tov mushatar la yehudi l'tfok ha-kachtov ha-alot ba-sensuah. It's certainly clear that on yom tov, as opposed to the Shabbat, the Jew can push the button and go up the elevator. Since the common practice here in Cairo is to turn on an electric light on Shabbat, just like the Lithuanian Jews in New York, all the way down to Mr. Lubavitch. I don't know whether his grandchildren follow him in this, but at any event, when I was young, all the Lithuanian Jews turned on the light on the Yom Tov, and he's reporting that all the Jews in Cairo used to turn on the light on Shabbat.
Did some turn them off?
Huh?
Did some of the Lithuanian Jews believe that it was okay to turn off the light?
Yeah.
Off
those who turned them off, on turned them off.
Is it Shabbat or Yom Tov?
Yom Tov. Only Yom Tov. But so he's first disposing of the problem with Yom Tov. He's saying since everybody turns on the light on Yom Tov, there should be no reason not to allow going up the elevator.
I thought it was a group that would turn on the light because you could transfer fire, but they wouldn't turn it off on Yom Tov because you can't extinguish fire.
There's no malacha. Yes, there are people who believe that. But in any event, let's stick to turning on the light. He's saying that there's no problem going up the elevator because when you push the button, you're turning on the light because after all, people turn the light on Yom Tov. Okay. ולא חייש לחשוב אור החשמל נולד כאי שיוצא מן העצים ובנים מטעם באור חשמל גנוץ ונמצא במרכז בית החרושת בירב יום טוב ובחוטים הנמשכים לבתים כמו שכתב בזה בשאלות ותשובות ובצור דבש שנראה לתאריך בזה בטוב טעם בדעת רב אחד מפרנק וכתמיים בתשובה נתפסת בירחון אוצר החיים תפרש פייחת הייתם get this article. In Cain, Kol Shekain Lahania et Ha'or Hazeh Bechdei Lahalot Ulohovid Et Asasin Tzuah Hanuska. Ve'ein Ha'or Nikar Ulo Hanato Shita V'shom. Va'afil Ha'poskin V'boi Tzatzorach Nefesh Vavara B'yom Tov, even those who require at least some degree of necessity for lighting a fire on Yom Tov, Ocha Harei Ikat Tzorech Shulo L'kateg V'aglav La'alot Nadogoy Ha'odeh. You certainly, this is a necessity, not have to climb up 10 floors to get to your apartment. Okay. וכמו ביום הכיפורים שהתיעו לעבור במים אפילו למעיק בהליך בהילוך כדי להקבל פני רבו כמה של הרמה, etc. ואפילו האחרונים שם שהחמירו בהר מודו, מכל שכן עזר הרוצר שיזכין ידוע בעלייה, since it's better to live on top upper floors, זה ודאי חשוב צורך לגבי הבאה ביום טוב. והוא ודאי אין לעשור בנדדה משום עלייה וירידה באסנצואר, ולא עשו כזה אלא באילן משום מקובל, ואיתו מקורי בדקליים נשרי על שבת, ואפילו בבואו עמוד מהאבא התאירו לעלות ולטפס את ספר ספר. גם לעיקר בהם חששת שיעקור עשה, ואחר גם חשש עזו לקר, ואין כן ביום טוב פשיטה לשרי, לדחות בקצור ולעלות באסנצואר. ואמנם, however, בשבת, ועל ידי גוי שדופק הכפתור, if you now have a non-Jewish elevator operator, ועד שהגוי השואר הוא מוזכר בזכירות חדשית, the elevator operator, after all, is in the employee of the landlord, and he's paid on a monthly basis, כמו שנהוד בכל הבתים גדולים כאלה שבהם אסנצואר, הרי פסח נורא מאוד, ואפילו בקצב ובקבלנות אסור לישראל להנות מנהר שהדליק נפלי בשביל ישראל. You're not allowed to benefit from an act that a guy does for you, ואפילו שבחצי דברים גויים ליהודים, סוף סוף הרי בשעה שהגוי השואר דופק החקפתו, even if they're non-Jewish tenants, at the time when the elevator operator is pushing the button, הוא עושה בשביל הישראל שעולה באותו שעה בסנסואל, ובחייגב אפילו מהירוד נחים דוד בחצר, even if the majority of tenants are not Jewish, לא דמי למה שכתב שם דברות נחים שורי דחכה בשעה שמדליק ודוחק כחפתו, when the non-Jew pushes the button, איקה הוכחה דרשור הישראל העולה בסנסואל עושה. אלא, let's get to the next paragraph. ויש לדוד בכתן לדם להתיר מטעם יחליק. We should allow the use of the elevator for other reasons. The argil hadavar shagai hashoer makabem tzkirato hachadshit hayikavit mibal hachatser. It's regular that the elevator operator gets a salary from the landlord. Hashcheinim hadavim levatim heinotnim lo rak betoch matana lofamim lo notin lakum. They only give him a tip or sometimes don't give him anything. Imken kevan shagai hadat hadavar hachatser hagoy mahlik. If the non-Jew is writing it, doing it on, for the non-Jewish landlord, אפילו כשהוא עושה בשעה שהדוחק חתור בשביל ישראל, אדם החצר, even though this particular act he's doing for the Jew, הרי להדליק בשביל גוי במותר לישראל. Since he's in the employ of the landlord, and the landlord is interested in having him do this, it's considered as if he's acting on behalf of the landlord. It's not a terribly strong argument, but it's an argument.
Suppose the landlord is Jewish. That's
going to be a problem. If the landlord is Jewish, it will be a serious problem.
So in a lot of these tshuvot, the references to the fact that there's a majority of non-Jews, so they, if you try to apply it in Israel today,
right.
It's a different story.
So if you have a non-Jewish elevator operator in Israel, this all of this would not apply. Let's go to the next page, number 3. V'kikat ha-kaptol l'chutei ha-chashmal, when you push the button, lo la'ol v'tzavich, you're not interested really in whatever lights go on. Ela la'anat הנעת החוצים שיגבירו את הסנסואר באוויר או להורידו. You're only interested in the elevator going up or down. אם כן, הרי מלאכה שאין צריכה לגופה על ידי גוי. The fact that the lights of the floor is going on is a side consequence and not something that is your immediate interest. וכשישראל גם כן עולה בסנסואר ולהנהנן את הנער שלא כדרך הנעתו, when the Jew goes up that elevator, in other words, he's saying the actual act of pushing the button in making the elevator go up or down, that's no problem whatsoever, if not for the fact that lights on the various floors go up to indicate what floor you're at.
So he's only worried about the light going on, he's not worried about the elevator moving up.
Right, he's not worried at all about the elevator moving up, and I agree with him 100%. There's no reason to prohibit pushing a button which just makes an elevator go up or down. We saw it.
Nowadays, when the door of the elevator opens, the light goes.
Yeah, then that's going to be a problem. That's certainly going to be a problem. In my apartment house in New York, the light's on all the time. They haven't updated the elevator to that extent.
Well, like the refrigerator pole goes on when you open.
Well, yeah, so with the refrigerator, we try to eliminate that by unscrewing the bulb before Shabbat or doing something which prevents that from happening. Then came, כיוון שדביקת הגוי את הכפתור לא לצורך הברכה, ואפילו בישראל נמי הרי מלאכה שאינה צריכה, וענת ישראל מזה לא מהאור, since the Jew only benefits by the ride up or down, but not from the light, שהרי אין האור ניכר לגמרי, כי אם לעלות באסנסואר, הרי מלאכה שאינה צריכה לדוף עליו, חוד התירו הפוסקים הנראה לגוי, וכל שכן אחר, יתן שלא כדרך הנעתה. So his main argument is that the act of turning on the lights is not the particular interest of the Jew, and it's only a side issue, but the issue of the elevator going up or down, pushing a button to make the elevator go up and down, it should not be some sort of issue. Five. Oh, let's go to four. Beitam shekatav le'el gabi yom tov, detirach al rabba hika la'alot b'madregot, since it's very hard to walk up all those flights of stairs. Havalei mitzvah de'onik Shabbat. It's a mitzvah of onik Shabbat to be able to go up and down the elevator. De'ekilu b'ze amirah le'goy b'makom mitzvah. U'be'achronin sof sof yomnin al-lachamam hamem ha'yveyob ha'koy v'kam, etc. There's an additional reason to be allow you to use of the non-Jewish elevator operator because this is considered onik Shabbat.
Five. This all implies that there's a non-Jewish operator.
Yeah.
Can it be for an elevator that you just push the button and
no,
you get into the elevator, you push another button.
No, the problem with the pushing of the button, he says, is that the electric lights that go on. So in other words, if you're one of the modern elevators that you described, that the light goes on.
Yeah, but suppose there's no operator. Suppose you have to push a button when you get in, they know where you're going. To go where you're going.
Right, so what he's saying is that the sole issue, the sole problem is the light. The light, in your case, when the light goes is off except when you open the door to the elevator, that's one problem. And the second is the lights that go on with indicating the floors.
I thought he said that that's just incidental, you don't have to worry about it.
Right, that's when the guy is doing it. But when you're doing it, it will be prohibited. Maybe not directly, but not any sort of right, but he said, but he's establishing the important, and to my mind, completely clear principle that going up and down the elevator and pushing a button to have the elevator go up and down is no problem whatsoever. The sole problem has to do with the lights.
Okay. What about the Shabbos elevator when you see the lights on the floors?
Well, those you don't do anything.
No, but you still see the lights.
There's nothing wrong with seeing the lights. You're not pushing any button in the Shabbos elevator.
So
it's all automatic.
It's all automatic. So, according to Rav Taludano, if, for example, like the elevator that I have in my a famous apartment in New York where it's so old that all the lights are out. There are no lights whatsoever. There should be no prohibition of pushing the button of the elevator to get me up to the fourth floor.
So the button itself doesn't light. And
the button itself doesn't light.
That's the light.
It's an orange shop.
Right. Okay. So, okay, I mean, yeah. Okay, five. Kol ikar isur hadlakat or hakashmal b'shabbat adayin mutal b'safek im nehasa midiraita or hak midirabana. He now raises the issue of whether an incandescent bulb is actually esh. In other words, does it fall under the prohibition? Lighting, turning on an electric light, does that fall under the prohibition of burning a fire on Shabbat? And he says that this is all a matter of still not 100% resolved. And I don't want to go into all of that issue, but I should make the point that to the extent that the incandescent bulb was replaced by either a fluorescent bulb or more likely by the new LED bulbs, then there will be no problem whatsoever as far as the lights are concerned. But that certainly is not age.
Can't use them for hot dog though.
I wouldn't worry about that. Okay. Well, we call the honey time later. This is the end where you, at the very end of this book. We call the honey time later. For all of these reasons, Yeshua Hasir Beshofi, La'alot Ba'atemzwa B'Shabbat Ha'alimet Ka'adoy, Ha'ar B'Shabbat Ha'adoy. And when it said about there, התלמיד לכמה דברים הנעשים על ידי תונת הכפתור באור החשמל ואין בעשייתם עצמה מלאכה כמו בטלפון וכיוצא לו שמותר לומר לגוי בשבת ינותו להניע הכפתור וגם בטלפון כשהוא רוצה להודיע המספר ולגוי באיש ידבר איתו מוכרח להחקות ולהחיץ במכונה וזה היה בעיר כמעטר הצחר סתר על כל פעמים מלאכה שאין צריכה לגובו ואם כן כשעושה הגוי הכל רק שישראל מדבר מותר so you should be also allowed to talk on the telephone on Shabbat. And now, of course, nowadays, there are none of these auxiliary problems. So, as I wrote in that Shabbat 15 or some odd years ago, that any time, if all that is being done by the electric machine is an act which is in itself permissible on Shabbat, then there's no reason not to do it. This whole taboo which has developed over the past 110 years over the non-use of electrical appliances is, I think, a mistake. Okay, now, I want to read the opinion of Rabbi Greisch, who was a rabbi in Switzerland, or in Switzerland, died in the 60s or 70s, something like that. That's the very last prohibiting the use of the elevator. So this is the last item on this.
It was 1960 or
19? Yeah. 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 Recently.
Recently.
Yeah. Fifty years ago. The following has been accepted throughout all of Israel. The Asur is so Rakevet Hashmalit Shabbat Yom.
Not correct.
Factually wrong. But he's saying everybody knows. Everybody knows.
He talked to the Chayim.
He was. Everybody knows that it's prohibited to ride on the electric tram on Shabbat. After all, even though we've just seen two very distinguished rabbanim who say that it's completely permissible. Bain hatam sofer yodes mekesan lekinyan chalav akon bekevan dekvar kiblo avotem olehem leso karov beinai dehavi isur deoraita mitam nefi. So now he's saying that since everybody has agreed that it's prohibited to ride on the electric tram on Shabbat, it's prohibited because of neder. She'ein bo hatara. Achal pi she'mekom makom kil kechol tzer rabbanan, hai shekach kiblu ha-neder she'yei asu aleinu kechol yisur rabbanan. Aval avor al zeh over al neder deoraita. But someone who violates this principle is actually violating the Isur of Neder Deoraita. Right? Being came, but neither the Dunami came. Kevan דקבר קיבלו עליהם הנסיעה ברכבת חשמלית אסור כן מטעם גם מטעם נדר. So first of all, it's as if everybody has taken an oath not to ride on the electric tram Shabbat. אם כן, מה לנו אם נוסע בקרון חשמלי לאורך או לאורך? או נוסע ב... חשמלי למעלה או למטה. What's the difference whether you're riding horizontally or vertically? Since we have all taken an oath not to ride horizontally on an electric tram, therefore we've also by extension taken an oath not to ride vertically on an electric elevator up or down, and therefore electric elevators are prohibited on Shabbat. Very, very, very strange. He says there's no Hasharat Nedarim because this is an oath that all of the Jews have taken upon themselves.
But it's a big leap to call it a Neder.
It's certainly a big leap to call it a Neder, and if it was a Neder, it's a big leap to say that there's no difference between riding up and down on an elevator or riding horizontally on a tram. So, but this is his position.
So remember, he converts every Darabanan to a Daraita.
And he converts every Darabanan into
a Daraita. Does anybody else talk about a practice becoming, I mean, in terms of a Neder, or is this the only...
Okay, so this is the most extreme negative position. This is by Rabbi Reich, who was living in Switzerland up until, I think, the 1960s or 70s. So, you have the two extremes. On the one hand, Rabbis Ziel and Toledano with very cogent arguments say that there's nothing wrong with riding on an electric tram on Shabbat, and in fact, we know that at least one Jewish community take them up on that. And then you have Rabbi Reich who's saying that all Jews have taken an oath upon themselves not to ride on the tram, and there's no difference between horizontal and vertical, and therefore riding on an elevator is prohibited.
He's also implying there isn't a better reason, because why would he...
Right, he's also implying that there isn't a better reason. For those of you who don't remember my long Shabbat on the issue of use of electrical appliances on Shabbat, I'll pass this out, but I'm sure you've all read it sometime in the past.
Just the one that was for cover?
Yes.
The one for Harvard?
Yeah, so all of you who have it, don't take it as enough. Now, we come into more recent history. So, whereas the leading Sephardic rabbis found no trouble with riding horizontally on a tram on Shabbat, and certainly no trouble in riding up and down in an elevator, except for the fact that there might be an issue with turning on a light, we get into the, how can I say this, the response of the modern Orthodox to this problem. And and you have two institutions in Israel who give certifications to various electrical appliances which are modified in such a way that you're allowed to do them, use them on Shabbat. And I think this is a disaster because, I mean, there should be no reason not to use the electrical appliances in the first place. So there is, Rabbi Halperin, who devoted 16 years of his life to the study of how to modify electric elevators so that you should be allowed to use a Shabbat elevator on Shabbat. According to him, the use of an ordinary elevator that simply stops at every floor is insufficient, because when you enter the elevator, there's no problem going up the elevator, but when you go down the elevator, the energy that you add by converting your potential energy into kinetic energy is transmitted to the electricity, and therefore you're building up the electrical supply, and therefore it should be prohibited. And he devised an elevator, the electronics of an elevator, which dissipates this additional energy, and therefore if you have an elevator with his hashgach, that is the approval of his institute, you're allowed to use it. Otherwise, not. And then there's a competing institute which finds some different reason to prohibit the use of an elevator and devise their own, I've forgotten the name of the second institute. The first one was something called the Institute for Technology or something like that. And therefore, there now exists in Israel, not by the Haredim, don't put the blame there. There are two different institutes, each of which has its own so-called hechsher for finding some things that are wrong with the use of the usual Shabbat elevator that simply stops at every floor, the use of which was certainly permitted by all the old rabbis, including Rabbi Auerbach, for example, who had no trouble with riding up and down an elevator if there was no issue of turning on the light or pushing the button for something, if that was concerned, or Rabbi Kaldadana, who tells you that you'd be allowed to push the button anyway because simply pushing the button does. So, we had for the last 10 or 15 years in Israel, all high-rise apartments which have more than one elevator system have to have a Shabbat elevator, and I think there was some competition between the two competing technical institutes, completely crazy as far as I'm concerned, as to certify these elevators. Now I'm going to pass out an article by two modern Orthodox American rabbis on the use of an elevator on Shabbat, and they describe in gory detail all of these technological issues that are involved in the use of an elevator on Shabbat, and why an ordinary Shabbat elevator that simply stops at every floor is not good enough. So
it's not good enough because these institutes want to get their share.
Exactly. But it explains, with all due respect, all of the detailed issues that these institutes are solving. The conclusion, however, of their article, after all of this careful analysis, is on the very last page of the article, conclusion, the issue of riding an elevator on Shabbat is complex. While it is true that some halakhic authorities permit one to use an elevator both for ascent and descent, it is clearly better to avoid putting oneself in a situation where one would have to routinely rely on lineage things. Therefore, their conclusion is, after all of these various different institutes and so on, still better not to use even a Shabbat elevator on Shabbat. And I'm emphasizing that Rabbi Broyd and Rabbi Yachter are part of the YU community. Rabbi Broyd is in fact the son of a cousin of mine, so
he used to be here, Rabbi Broyd.
I don't think so. I don't know him from here at all. But his father is my mother's sister's son, so I've known him since, you know. So I don't think we should all be surprised that after all of this, the Haredi rabbis tell us that they have their own engineers who say that all of these apparatus involved by the various different electronics of these different institutes make the elevator permissible. Note the elevator use of even a Shabbat elevator is prohibited.
So as a matter of practice, what do they do? I went to live in Brooklyn and then I really don't live there.
Why do they take the stairs?
What they do, I don't know. Remember, there was this scare about 5 years ago about the use of the shekel because the hair was made from Indian women who make this a sacrificial votive gift to their gods, and therefore there's a prohibition and therefore there's a for the not to use the. So what's really an issue here is something completely different. One, of course, is politics, right? You do not, if you're a Haredi rabbi, you do not want to rely on the Zionist rabbis to allow you to do something. But the second is, I think, what we saw in Rabbi Breisach's Shabbat, namely such a fear of anything having to do with electricity that anything that's remotely connected to it is prohibited. Whether this prohibition against the use of even the modified Shabbat elevators will survive or not, well, the hardship is on elderly people.
Yeah, of course.
Who can't get down to the dining hall, for example, if they're going to show or go to shul. And what can I say? There was a tshuva which I did not bother to cite by a different rabbi from a few years back. About he was asked whether a man who was incapacitated could ride down on Rosh Hashanah, not much about on Rosh Hashanah. So he had to have a non-Jew run the elevator for him, and could he ride down on Rosh Hashanah so that he could hear tekiah? And the answer was a very, very definite no. So we're left with we're living in a sort of unstable and slightly crazy world. As I mentioned last week, there's a book by a Freudian anthropologist called The Shabbat Elevator and Other Sabbath, whatever you write, I don't remember the right word, written purely from a Freudian perspective, anal eroticism and all of that stuff. What amazed me is that he got such absolutely just about everything completely right. I mean, here's a man who probably knew nothing about Orthodox Judaism and in a manner of teaching a course in Berkeley in one of his anthropology courses decided that, that this is such a strange set of customs and behavior that he was going to analyze it from the perspective of Freudian anthropology. Of course, I was able to read the first half of the book with pleasure because he just got absolutely everything right. But then, of course, when he went into the Freudian analysis, it was so off the wall.
It was too hurried.
Right. So the guy's name is Dundas, I think. And I don't recommend the book. My son, who was visiting here last Shabbat, was horrified that I could have such a book in the house. There. Okay, so... But that's my take on the current elevator crisis. Next week I'll plan to do something completely different. Just remember, I warned you that this is going to be a tough week. Next week I plan to discuss medical benefits for employees. To what extent does the employer have to provide medical insurance and medical care for his employees?
What does that have to do with halacha?
I'm talking about halacha, to what extent an employer has to take care of his employees. Are you, as an employer, obligated to pay for the medical care of someone who's working for you? This is a halachic question.
It's a public labor law.
It's a part of labor law, and it's a part of contract law. I mean, there was a time in which halacha involved more than the prohibitions of doing this or that on Shabbat or what you could eat or you could not eat. Halacha at one time also included all forms of contract law and labor law and tort law and so on. Remember, when you were in school, you learned about the kamal, about the nasiya, and the
harakla. Right, right. But... health insurance was not available.
No, this is. I'm not going to be talking about insurance. I'm not going to be talking about insurance. I'm saying to what extent responsibility does the employer have to pay for the medical care of his employee? Does a major institution have to have its own medical officer? We will start in the Yetzer Hashem next week by reminding ourselves of our mission in Shkalim, which said that the temp amongst all of the employees of the temple, there was a medical officer to take care of sick priests. The Gemara said that the Kohanim, since they were walking around barefoot and lightly dressed and were eating all of this meat, would quite often get into some illness or other, and
high cholesterol.
They have to have a medical officer who advise them which wine was beneficial to cure their intestinal ailment. And the Rambam, when he brings this halacha, says that there was not only just a medical officer, but there was a whole staff. So don't do large concerns, for example, should they have a medical staff to take care of their employees. Or the Mishnah says that that one of the rights of a widow is not only to be fed, that is to have, take care of her board, but also take care of her medical expenses. And to what extent does this extend to other forms of contract? All of this, I'm just simply saying that, as I warned you, there's going to be sudden shifts from one topic to another.
Here I'm stuck on the other.
Right.